Missouri government was in the national spotlight last week, again. Why? Because a district that voted overwhelmingly for Trump just elected a Democrat to the state house. Now everyone's wondering if this might be a sign that even more Democrats will win on the congressional level during the midterm elections this year. But what does this Democratic victory actually mean for the state? And does it really tell us anything about what's to come in 2018? I'm Brian Ellison, and this is State House Blend, Missouri. This week on State House Blend, Missouri, we're starting something new. We're answering your questions about what you don't understand in the life of the Missouri General Assembly. What are the questions that you want answers to? And sometimes they're going to be questions that I've got too. This week, we're talking about special elections. We all know there were four special elections this week, all resolved with some different and sometimes surprising results. Here to help us figure out how special elections work is political scientist Patrick Miller. Patrick, good to have you on State House Blend.
Thanks for having me here again.
What happened with these four districts in Missouri?
The four districts that were up were all pretty Republican-tilting districts to different degrees. The one that is actually the most friendly for Democrats is the one that Democrats picked up. It's a district where Barack Obama got 43% of the vote in 2012, but that fell down to just 33% for Hillary Clinton. The other districts were far less friendly for Democrats. So not exactly fertile territory for them to make gains, even in a weirdly timed election like this. But they did flip the district that was friendliest to them and came pretty close to actually flipping a second district that was markedly more Republican. But in a rural area that did have some traditionally Democratic roots really back in the day before we had this urban-suburban realignment. So maybe in the big picture, not entirely surprising that that one was a little close. But they had an unexpected win.
Republicans won three out of four districts. That seems like good news for Republicans. Are Republicans looking at these results and saying, wow, that was a great special election day for us?
No. And in fact, you can find many a Missouri Republican on Twitter who is quite upset about it, pointing fingers at various different people in the state, including the governor. The bottom line for them is that the one district that is plausibly in the realm of competitiveness, though maybe on the outskirts of that, they lost that. And that is not a positive sign going forward to November 2018, when you're going to have a lot more districts like that on the ballot. And many Republicans actually in districts that are more competitive than that one. That doesn't mean that their majority is necessarily in danger, but it means that they're going into an environment where they may well have losses to some degree.
So how much should we read into special elections? I guess I've always sort of heard that you've seen one special election result, you've seen one special election result, that they all have their own individual situations and you shouldn't be drawing big conclusions from them.
Yes and no. You know, a good way to think about an election result, whether it is a special election or a regularly timed election, is that it's its own pot of stew. And in that pot, there are a bunch of different ingredients. Some may come across more in the final result or that flavor than others. And then when you remake that soup or that stew next election time, it may be totally different in how it tastes. So, you know, you get down to the district level and it's very hard to say that here's that one thing that really tipped the election because there are so many components simmering around in there. But if we look across special elections and look at broader patterns, the bigger patterns that we see actually do tend to be pretty predictive of regularly scheduled election results. So if you go back to 1980, actually, and you look at how both of the parties perform in these weirdly timed special elections for state legislatures, and you look at the swing to that party on average compared to the previous presidential election, it actually tracks the popular vote for the House pretty well. So a year like this, where Democrats right now nationally are running almost 15 points ahead in these legislative special elections of where Clinton did in these districts in 2016, that would signal a pretty nice surge in the House vote for Democrats next year, nationally and in state legislatures. Now, of course, how that gets filtered through gerrymandered districts is an interesting question.
And a lot can change in the next 10 months before
right.
the election.
Between now and November is an eternity in politics, and a lot can happen. The interesting part of the electorate that is shifting the most right now, well, there are two. I mean, we hear a lot about the Rust Belt flipping to Trump. There haven't been a lot of elections this year in the Rust Belt. Democrats have done okay in those. Mm-hmm. But the flip side of that is suburbia, particularly suburbs that are higher education, higher income, traditionally Republican, quite white on average. Many of these actually flipped to Clinton in 2016, where they voted for Romney before, or she ran ahead of Obama's numbers in many of these places. And in the last year, that's especially where Democrats have been doing well in both regularly timed elections and specials, is in the suburbs. So if you look at the district that flipped here in Missouri, it is more of a suburban seat, certainly the most suburban of them all. I mean, certainly, I mean, Claire McCaskill had won the district when she ran for re-election, so Democrats have won there. But she also had a very unusual election. I mean, for me, looking at that before the election, I saw 43% as the high watermark recently for Democrats with Obama. So I wouldn't have bet on that one flipping. And that should be a troubling sign for Republicans that it is.
I guess one more question, Patrick. Does any of this matter? And maybe that's just a matter of opinion based on what you care about. But at the end of the day, four seats in a House that is still overwhelmingly controlled by Republicans hasn't changed the balance of power in any way. Do you think seeing these results is likely to change the way the General Assembly approaches any particular issues? Will it affect the legislation that's coming out?
I mean, one thing we know about politicians is that they do respond to the mood of the electorate before elections often happen. Well, if they're smart, they do. And, you know, if Republicans, particularly suburban Republicans, are anticipating a negative environment this year, that may possibly make the, whatever they do this session a bit less conservative, playing it safer, at least until after the election. But, you know, even going after this, Democrats have a very bad map. It's partly a result of where they live. It's not really so much that it's gerrymandered at the state legislative level. It's just it's easy to put Democrats in a lot of very compact, very Democratic districts. But it's a map that's hard for them. And they want to be able to build their bench, to have more obvious candidates for higher office down the road. And winning those elections this year, even if they don't become a majority, is still something that they need to do in order to build that bench. You know, there are votes in every legislature that are not perfect party line votes, where have these coalitions that come up along regional or whatever lines. And even if Democrats are just picking up 5 or 10 seats and they're still deeply in the hole, that could change the math on some votes that are not just party votes going into the next legislative session.
The kind of the reason I ran or what kind of drew me, I've always had an interest in politics, but I wasn't, you know, a political science major. It wasn't really something I'd done in the past.
That's Mike Revis, the Democrat who managed to flip a Republican House seat in last week's special elections in a district that voted overwhelmingly for Trump. He says it wasn't always his plan to get involved, but something happened in the legislature that he couldn't ignore.
I'd been working for Anheuser-Busch for about 4 years, and I was driving home from work back this past summer, and I was listening to a radio station, and they were talking about how quickly right to work had passed in our state. And I grew up in a union home. My dad had 40 years in the Carpenters Union in St. Louis, and my mom had been a public school teacher in the NEA for, you know, over 30 years. So to me, that was a red flag, and that was concerning. So I went home that night. I reached out to the state party. I said, you know, I'm Mike Revis. Here's my background. Here's my passion. This is where I live. I'd like to get involved.
Revis's victory made national headlines, and it spurred a lot of speculation about Democrats scoring more victories in midterm elections later this year. But politics aside, I wanted to know more about the people in a district who could vote for both Donald Trump and a Democrat.
Down here, you know, when we were going door to door, when I was talking to people or when volunteers were talking to people, I always wanted to ask the volunteers when it was through, you know, what were people talking about? What were their passions? What were their concerns? And the big issues down here that were really getting people fired up was the passage of Right to Work and was the attacks on our public education system as well. You know, when it's 19 degrees and you're on someone's front porch step and they open their door, you know, it's gold they might not want to talk long, but if you do get them engaged, those were the issues they were going to, and that's really what people were concerned about.
So help me square that with the vote for Donald Trump in that district, because those sound like traditional, in Missouri at least, traditional Democratic issues, being opposed to right to work, wanting to see more funding for public education, let's say. How does that make sense with the fact that only 33% of the district voted for Hillary Clinton?
Well, it's not that long ago that we actually had a Democratic state rep in this seat here. Before Representative McCarty, we had Sam Como. So we're only one representative removed from having a Democrat here.
Though a lot has changed in those years that McCarty was in the district.
Yeah, but I think people were ready to go back to their just true values and true beliefs of looking out for the working class. I think, yes, they did vote Republican in the last presidential, and they don't feel like their interests were really being heard. I made sure during the entire process, you know, I was holding public meet and greets, public forums, going door to door, making sure that I was approaching people not as a constituent, but as a neighbor, as someone coming to them to say, hey, what concerns do you have? So we can collectively bring them to Jefferson City and our voices can be heard.
So it doesn't sound to me like you're nearly as surprised as everybody else seems to be that this district elected a Democrat.
I knew it was certainly possible, but I knew it wasn't going to be easy. It had a lot to do with the large support we had from the labor community. On one single day, we had over 100 volunteers join us and go knock door to door. And I think that says a lot. That says a lot about the strength of the labor community still, and that people were just energized and tired of the attacks on the working class.
Were you surprised at the level of national attention being paid to a House district race in Missouri?
It was not expected to go that far and widespread.
Yeah, the reason people seem interested in it is because they believe it says something about Democrats' prospects beyond your seat. They think it says something about the Trump administration or about the Greitens administration. Do you think that's true? Do you think your vote there in Jefferson County for one seat was a referendum on some bigger things?
After talking with folks down here in this community, I don't think this was a retaliation vote against the governor scandal or President Trump. I think this was a retaliation vote against the attacks on the working class and people pushing back and fighting back against right to work.
So you've mentioned right to work as a high priority. That's really not on the plate this year in the General Assembly because we're waiting now for the election or the vote on a ballot
right.
initiative later in the year. What's on your agenda? What do you want to work on?
Yeah, so outside of right to work, though, there are other attacks coming towards the labor community. You have prevailing wage, paycheck deception. There's a lot of other
prevailing wage
coming to.
Just to remind folks, prevailing wage is the requirement that municipalities or local entities pay at the so-called prevailing wage that's required under state law. Often that's a union wage, but a lot of municipalities say they can't afford that and it makes things too expensive.
So right,
you would stand with Democrats who would oppose any changes to the prevailing wage law.
Right, I'd be supporting our labor background on that issue, and I think that's a big one that's going to be coming up. But then also making sure that we're properly funding our education system.
Governor Greitens, in his budget, has proposed some pretty substantial increases to K-12 education. Do you support that?
Well, there's some proposed increases for K-12, but then there's also some large decreases proposed for higher ed beyond that. We need to make sure that we're allowing, supporting the highest levels of education throughout the entire state and making sure that people are getting the right education that they need.
It's Mike Revis. He was one of four representatives elected last week. The other three were Republicans. We'll be following all the newly elected representatives to see how much they're changing the State House in the weeks to come. Meanwhile, here's what else you need to know about this week in Missouri government.
For us to say, well, I want to go home, I mean, this is what you're elected to do. You're not elected to go to sleep. You're elected to fight.
That's Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal. She was one of four senators who held the floor in an epic 24-hour filibuster against a bill in the Senate that would have given utility companies a lot more freedom to raise rates. In the end, it may have worked. Compromises off the floor resulted in changes that senators seem to agree retained enough control of rates while also encouraging upgrades to the state's power grid. but the bill needs another vote before it can move to the House. Also, in the ongoing saga of the lobbyist gift ban, remember, that's the ethics bill that would restrict all gifts from lobbyists to legislators to reduce the influence of lobbyists on legislation. Well, a Senate committee moved a bill forward. It still allows gifts, though, as long as they're not more than $40 a day. The sponsor of the House bill, Justin Alferman, says, well, I guess it's better than nothing.
Clearly, the House wanted a zero, kind of a no-tolerance policy for lobbyist gifts. But even at $40, it is still a lot better than the current system that we have.
No word yet on when that will reach the Senate floor. And by the way, if you want to send gifts of $40 a day to State House Blend, we will gladly accept them. And finally, since we know you don't want a week to pass without hearing something about this story, the ex-husband of the woman with whom Governor Eric Greitens has admitted having an affair has been called to testify before a grand jury in St. Louis that's investigating allegations that Greitens blackmailed the woman. That's according to the man's lawyer, though grand jury actions are secret in Missouri, and the St. Louis Circuit Attorney won't confirm or deny the report. State House Blend Missouri is produced by Matt Hodapp. Don't forget, I follow Missouri politics all week. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at PTSBrian. I'm Brian Ellison. Thanks for listening.